Wrestle Reaction on the air. This time, Joe, it's not Tuesday. It is Monday night,
yes.
Right after Raw, the new home of Wrestle Reaction every single week. Just like you are tuning in right now, we want to see you back here for the weeks to come, and we hope to entertain you tonight. I am your host, Frank Manzo, along with my co-host, Joe Omega. And it was an okay Raw tonight, I think. It was, to me, okay is a mediocre word in my vocabulary. Wasn't good, wasn't great, wasn't excellent. It was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was definitely below good.
Yeah, no, I definitely would think below good. And Joe, this is where I think we differentiate the weeks of Raw as compared specifically to last week, where I know a lot of people were saying that they weren't so happy about the format. It was a little match heavy, too long matches. But you know what? I think when you compare the two shows, they were kind of similar in the way they were formatted. But last week, we definitely got the better wrestling matches, no question. And of course, what sticks out to me last week was Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. I think was probably the match of the past 2 weeks, no doubt about it. But starting off tonight, we got a bit of a weird opening segment. Cena out there quickly, kind of doing a goofy promo. Back to that, it seems.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah,
thumbs down for that right away.
Always not a fan here of the goofy promos. By the way, if you're not in the chat room right now, get in there. It's a lot of fun, especially late night on Monday after Raw. Whole lot of nonsense going on in there. WrestleReaction.net/watch. You're watching the show live right now. And by the way, we're taking callers tonight. 323-300-5350. Want to hear what you have to say about Raw, anything else in the wrestling world, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. We can talk it all. We know our stuff. And but getting back into Raw, Joe, definitely John Cena, typical, you know, kind of trying to be funny, staying somewhat serious, but, you know, it took Vicky Guerrero coming out and surprise, surprise, in a card that was Extreme Rules that everybody was kind of saying, well, is this going to be a regular match? Now we have a stipulation.
Yes, and of
to
course,
the WWE title match.
The stipulation is, I mean, nothing that I wanted to see. I don't think it's anything you wanted to see.
Right.
I don't think it's anything you wanted to see. Last man standing. They've done so many of these matches, and they're so hard to pull off one that you really feel is good.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the 10 count. You had the whole duct tape thing that went down.
Batista.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you have to do these kind of special endings to make one guy not look so weak. A 10 count is a big thing in the world of wrestling, and I don't feel that a last man standing match helps anybody really involved. And for something like the Ryback now to pull off this last man standing match, a main event style match with John Cena, I don't know if these are two of the right guys that could really do it.
Yeah, it definitely, to tell you the truth, I probably would have liked better if they would have stuck with the regular format, maybe even just made it a simple Extreme Rules, no DQ, no count out type of thing, kind of like Brock and Triple H at WrestleMania. But what seems to happen is when we have these cards that there's a lot of stipulations up and down the card, you need to mix it up. And I figured that somewhere in this Extreme Rules pay-per-view card, we would get a last man standing match. But like you said, is Cena Ryback the right pairing for that match? I don't know about this.
Nah, there's going to be, you know, Justin J. Hill in the chat room is calling for the Shield to come out. There's got to be some kind of shenanigans. They're going to play off the John Cena Achilles injury. But like I said, it's just one of these things, the 10 count of this last man standing match, it matters so much to what's going to go down during this match. And can these two men pull off a match that's really going to show somebody be that battered and bruised to go down for a 10 count?
And it's the rhythm of the match also. Always in these matches, you have a lot of time where people are obviously laying out for, in the equivalent of a regular match, would be a long 2 count. But now in this would be an 8-9 count, possibly getting back up. And you're going to see much of that from Ryback and Cena, probably getting to at least the 8 count, probably 2-3 times each in this match. And with two guys that are not typically running around the ring and fast-paced, you know, catch-as-catch-can wrestlers, you're looking at guys that are a little bit slower than most of the normal roster.
And that is another thing I have a problem with, the pace of this match.
Right, and the 10 count is definitely scaring me. Like our Facebook editor Jimmy says to us all the time, last man standing match equals crowd killer. And I have to say he's, for the most part, right. because it has definitely been one of my least favorite stipulations in the past couple of years. I can't remember too many last man standing matches that I really love, to tell you the truth. There's not many. I mean, maybe Triple H and Shawn Michaels back in 2004 leading up to WrestleMania 20. That would be an excellent last man standing match.
Two different kind of workers. You got Shawn Michaels in the ring.
Right. I mean, and obviously Hunter, who we know is awesome and always has a good match with
Shawn. Who I knew you would put over, so I just gave up the Shawn Michaels shout.
It's without failure here. But getting back to that, interesting to see that they threw them a stipulation. Goes with the card.
Yeah, they had to have a stipulation. I was just hoping for something different.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those, yeah, it figures, WWE it figures.
Yeah, and just the problem for me is also that this is, to tell you the truth, now, Joe, that I see that this is a last man standing match and Brock Lesnar Triple H is a cage match, and these two are basically co-main events of this pay-per-view. I personally would like to see the cage match end the show. I don't think ending the show with the Cena-Ryback last man standing match is going to have a good flow for the end of the pay-per-view. By the way, we're going to be talking about that live after pay-per-view. Big announcement right now. You're the first ones to hear it. We are going to do every single WWE pay-per-view post-show, just like we are doing right now, live after Raw. We will be on the air at the website after Extreme Rules and every other WWE pay-per-view to come with that. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens at that pay-per-view, especially with the last man standing.
Well, I'm definitely going to agree with you that I think Brock Lesnar should close the show. Him and Cena had Extreme Rules last year. I really feel that this pay-per-view now is geared towards Brock Lesnar for him to really, like, you know, let loose a little bit more. I'm expecting the Brock Lesnar victory, might I add. But you know what? But imagine when you stay right into Raw, but imagine now I have a little more interest in is this triple threat ladder match.
Big time. And I was going to roll it over to that just now, Joe, because I know
why I'm here.
I know you are the mid-card, mid-bodied type of guy, loves those ladder matches, loves the IC title.
I always call for, and you know what? It's funny you said that. Exactly what I thought that these three men show me tonight. Like, you know, we all know that the World Heavyweight Championship is now the second tier, kind of like the new IC title.
Correct.
And I'm like, these three guys remind me right now, three hungry guys going for the Intercontinental title in a ladder match. And I really felt the match tonight and all the interaction on the outside of the ring, and Jack Swagger actually showed me a little something, a little intensity.
Definitely.
Got me interested in this match.
I would say
One of the good things WWE Raw did well, because besides that, it was a pretty flat show.
I was going to say, Joe, I think we both felt that that might have been the strongest segment tonight. I mean, obviously, those three guys are getting over very well. Everybody's looking forward to this triple threat. Even before it was a ladder match, I think a lot of people knew that this would be an excellent match between these three guys. Now you throw in the ladder, Ziggler, who is obviously everybody's favorite little star. It's just going to be a very, very good match. Predicting show stealer there. Dolph will walk through the curtain and basically look at everybody and say, follow that, like we love that he does. And he's going to have a damn good point, because this, I don't see anything else comparing to it. As much as I love to put over Hunter, and I think Brock Lesnar is great every time he goes out there, he's very entertaining, and people just like to watch him out in the ring, I would definitely have to say I'm looking forward to the Triple Threat World Heavyweight Championship ladder match. And it's interesting, Joe, because I don't think there's a doubt in anybody's mind that Dolph Ziggler is reaching up and grabbing that belt and walking out with it.
No, really, you know what? JBL said it on commentary. He said that this match is designed for the best athlete, and the best athlete of the three is Dolph Ziggler. I don't think they can give him such a short title reign either. As we know, a lot of the news and rumors coming out of Camp Ziggler is that they may get the titles, all three, Divas and United States. And Dolph Ziggler's a workhorse. He's a workhorse. And I don't know if you realize, he took a real ass-whooping tonight.
Oh, yeah.
A real ass-whooping. The guy's a bump guy. The guy's a rubber man. He's out there every night doing jobs, putting people over, making people look good. They're going to keep the title on this guy. He's a heel. But at the same time, he's getting cheers from the crowd and having a good match every night. No reason to take the title off.
And doesn't need to win.
No, you know what? And like I said, like we've been saying for a while, he is much more over than a Jack Swagger or Alberto Del Rio.
No question about it. It's a different level of wrestler, I believe. A lot of people have been making good points about, you know, truly establishing the division between the main eventers and the mid-carders. And as much as people want to say that guys like Sheamus or Orton even, or Wade Barrett, or Del Rio, or any of these guys are like lower tier main eventers, it's just not that way anymore. They're getting treated more like mid-carders. But again, this is kind of back to some of the greatest stuff in WWE history, some of the foundation that laid for us all to get here. You have to have a strong mid-card act.
Gotta have it.
I mean, if you don't have a strong mid-card act, you're literally waiting for a dog and pony show that is 20 minutes before the ending of the show. The whole time you're leading up to it. What are you going to do for those other 2.5 hours of Raw and the pay-per-view without the undercard and the mid-card being strong? So I definitely, definitely like what they're doing there. They kept Swagger relevant even after the WrestleMania loss, even after the obvious marijuana bust that everybody thought he was going to get punished
from. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people did. That kind of way slipped right under the rug.
Joe, I have to say, I think that there may have been a world title in the picture for Swagger in these months right now, and that may have been taken away as far as the bust goes, but it's still keeping him in a level where he's getting attention, he's getting big spots, and I just think...
Well, I think tonight was one of his strongest nights.
It was good. It was really good. It was just funny to see him just come out there and Zeb grab the microphone and do commentary and Swagger basically just sitting there doing nothing. It's just that's the role that he has, and it just works as a great dynamic between those two. And obviously, Zeb Colder just adds so much personality to anything when he grabs any microphone, the commentary booth, the regular microphone to do an interview. By the way, call in if you have the guts. Get on the phone with Wrestle Reaction. Let everybody hear your voice. Tell us what you think. 323-300-5350. Get on the phone right now. We want to hear from you. But getting into the first match of the night, Joe, one of the most entertaining things of the whole night by far, Damian Sandow's entrance to face Randy Orton. A great
reaction.
Oh, my God. The Sandow
was on.
The Sandow lyrics making fun of Orton, how he comes out with the same blank stare all the time. And it's just I loved it. I loved everything about it. It felt like he was literally taking the words of internet fanboys.
Exactly. You speak in the mind.
It was a great thing. It seems that Sandow knows that the more you can relate to the smarks sitting at home, the more you're going to get over. And I think the crowd even showed that they really liked what he did. Even Orton seemed like he was hiding a little smirk, honestly. So it just seemed like that was a great way to go. They had a good little match. Wasn't as good as I expected, to tell you the truth, but not a bad opener for Raw.
Not a bad opener.
No, not at all.
I mean, be honest with you, after I saw that, I'm like, all right, maybe Raw has a little more promise than it ended up having.
Right.
So, all right, maybe we can have another one of these kind of Raws, you know, a couple of good matches, a couple of good segments. We did have the Brock Lesnar segment, which I ended up thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
Albeit a little long.
Didn't think all day it was going
to be. No, I thought it was going to be terrible, to be honest with you. I thought it was lame. I called it as soon as I came here. I'm like, this is going to be lame. I don't like the via satellite type things. But overall, that segment was one of the few good things of Monday Night Raw that we have to report on tonight.
Absolutely. And after the match, Orton obviously celebrating his win over Sandow, and he gets up to the entrance stage, and he gets attacked by Big Show. So it seems like they are definitely moving with Orton versus Big Show. Later on in the show, they're definitely moving with Sheamus and Mark Henry. I know there was some talk maybe of getting a standard 2-on-2 tag team match on the card for Extreme Rules, something that's not booked right now, of getting maybe Henry and Big Show versus Sheamus and Orton. Obviously, that would tie into the whole WrestleMania match they had last month. So that would have worked out well. But it does seem, Joe, over the past 2 weeks that they're now keeping this completely separate, and it's going to be two different singles matches at the pay-per-view, maybe even a strap match between Sheamus and Mark Henry after what we saw
maybe
tonight.
Maybe a little strap match, kind of bull rope type match with Mark Henry Henry was whipping him like he stole something. Mark Henry may have been the most entertaining guy tonight. I tweeted earlier. Just everything he's been doing lately, the interaction with the fans on the mic when he was just kind of playing to their what, and then, of course, he said, y'all are puppets. Then basically he's just talking like the whole time. Really, really is getting into the whole character with JBL, saying like, JBL, why don't you know, carry this like you've been doing. Really kind of saying what everyone wants him to say, and he's been doing a hell of a job in the ring and outside. And right now on the line we have a caller. Which name? Where are you from? Caller, you there?
We got anybody on the line right now?
Yes, I'm Dale Huffman from Bristol, Tennessee.
How are you tonight? How did you like Raw?
Bob, you think he will win?
Say that again?
Do you think Ryback will win the title?
Do you think Ryback will win the title? No. I think Ryback is way too early for the Ryback to win the title right now. John Cena just got it back.
Don't see it happening. Ryback, world title right now. Like Joe said, it was a big, big celebration at the end of WrestleMania, passing the torch to John Cena as The Rock supposedly did. Pyro, title belts held in the air, all that. I know it has happened before where immediately after that somebody does lose the belt, but I just don't see it in this situation. I see this as a time coming after, out of WrestleMania, now that The Rock seems to have finished his business, passed the belt on to Cena, who actually hasn't had that belt, Joe, in a very long time, and we were so used to the past 8 years of him really having it. So I don't see John letting go of it so soon. I see some kind of screwy finish coming here, last man standing match. But I just, I don't know. I still see Cena getting over. I know there's been many people in the industry who say, well, if you don't put Ryback over right now at this pay-per-view, make him WWE champion, then this is all a bust. It's over. You're not getting Ryback marketable ever. You completely screwed yourselves. He's dead in the water. I don't see it like that because it is fake wrestling. Wins and losses happen.
Oh, take it easy, Mark Mann.
I said the F word. Excuse me. Wins and losses happen. And I just think Ryback has a future even if he loses. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in some kind of different type of match with John Cena again at the Payback pay-per-view in June.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught the tail of the tape from Monday Night Raw tonight, but Ryback's biggest highlight they had was shell-shocking Mark Henry.
At a WrestleMania match that he lost.
I mean,
pretty much.
Ryback right now really has nowhere to go but up. He's had so many of these losses on TV and on pay-per-view.
Well, Ryback's
Now he's a heel, though, but now he's got something to work with now. Now he's got something different to work with.
I agree, and I was just going to say the true highlights of Ryback's career for me so far has been this little interaction that he's done with John over the past few weeks because he's getting to do main event segments face-to-face on the opposition of the number one guy in the company, and it's just like anybody who got to work with your golden boy, Hulk Hogan, 20 years ago, Joe, 30 years ago.
Greatest of all time.
If you got to hang with Hogan and do a program with him, even if it was just for a little house show run, if it was for a few TVs that led to an MSG match, whatever it was, guys were honored to do that. It made them. It brought them up to a level that they weren't up to before. Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig was a hell of a wrestler. He was doing great in WWE, but Joe, as you know, it's one of our favorite things ever. That whole Saturday Night main event era where Mr. Perfect constantly has that feud going with Hulk Hogan,
yes.
Put him on the map. Definitely put him on the map. And Terry always liked working with Kurt. He always said he liked working with Kurt Hennig. So things like that are going to make the person. You could give Ryback 5 pay-per-view losses in a row the past couple of months. I just think that now you're letting him play with the big boys, WCW style, and he is now out there with John Cena on the mic. That's main event status right there.
And I personally think Ryback is doing a decent job on the microphone.
I think he is.
He's got his own little style about him.
Agree. And it's different. I like it. We're getting variety out of our mic workers now. It seems like there's a little more personality shining through for certain people. And I'm liking what they're doing with
that. Staying with the Ryback, Warhood from the chat room wants to know, do you see the Ryback getting buried as much as Batista did in Cena's Last Man Standing match? I'm going to say no because that was kind of Batista's swan song going on there.
Thank you very much, Joe. Didn't even need to speak. Batista was on his way out. They needed to create something for him to quit the next night on Raw, wheelchair, neck brace, and all. And I think it was meant for John to do some damage. John had already beat him in the Mania match the month before, and now he's going to completely put him out the next month. And I don't see that happening in this pay-per-view. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here. A lot of people obviously calling for the Shield to get involved somehow in the finish. Be interesting to see which way that goes. They have been randomly attacking both Ryback and John
Cena. And they did tonight also. Ryback kind of walked out and comes back in to attack John Cena.
I don't think that helps the WWE's booking situations right now, Joe. As much as I find the Shield extremely interesting and one of the best things in years, no doubt about it, it's really not helping the whole babyface heel dynamic that they are just coming out and attacking anybody. It seems like there's no level of control of what's happening in the booking. And it also seems, I've seen people bring this up too, that the Shield is kind of the solution to every WWE problem right now. Oh, we don't know how to end this feud. Let's send the Shield out there to trash somebody. We don't know what to do with John Cena tonight. Let's have the Shield jump him. You know what I mean? It's just, they get involved in everything.
Here's a quick thought, since we're on the Ryback right now. From the chat room, a few people calling for it, and Doug O'Mac said if Ryback had someone like a Paul Heyman, he'd skyrocket. Do you think maybe a manager, a Paul Heyman, could get, you know, I'd offer
my services possibly. No, I'm kidding. But I think that would be great. I think that's the kind of guy that you do it with. But to tell you the truth, it's not a Brock Lesnar situation. Ryback clearly has the ability to do interviews. He's done them behind the scenes.
Yes, I agree.
Well.
Ryback, much better than Lesnar.
Way
much better than
Brock. Brock is not a bad speaker. It's just Brock, I don't think, ever truly understood the actual psychology of a wrestling promo, what it's meant to do, the certain situations where you throw in certain cheap shots, give people certain respect. I don't think Brock got that whole concept as it goes with wrestling planning. The things that writers can do behind the scenes and plan out where things go week to week. Brock was just more of the, I'm going to train my ass off and be the monster that I am and go in there and have a 5-star match. And he did good at that. But that's when you need a Paul Heyman behind you to do that talking. And it's amazing how Paul Heyman works with CM Punk, a guy who clearly does not need a mouthpiece.
But all he does is kind of just stand there lurking in the wings.
Yeah.
Just being that smug, you know, that nobody likes, that everyone wants to see dropped on his rear end. And that's what somebody like Bobby the Brain Heenan was good at, making the fans hate his guys even more.
Best manager of all time.
Oh, yeah.
But finishing up on the Ryback, I want to say, if anybody did not see the SmackDown match with Daniel Bryan, it was everything they hyped it up to be. I believe definitely it was Ryback's best match to date. And if you think that that guy's capable of only being a big man and tossing people around, just go watch that match. Because he super sold the hell out of everything for his good friend and car buddy, Daniel Bryan. No question about it. I mean, Daniel Bryan did a suicide dive through the ropes, and Ryback sold it like he got hit by Kane coming out of there. And it was just – it just made for a great back-and-forth match. Obviously, at the end, Ryback dominated him and won because you're trying to get this guy over and put him in a program with John Cena. But it was great to see two guys have a match like that on SmackDown. And by the way, just throwing it out there, post-WrestleMania this year, SmackDown – much, much better than last year. They're booking it very strong. Not as many Raw recaps. It doesn't have 3 Brock Lesnar promos talking about John Cena piss running down his leg and everything else.
Usually the SmackDowns are just a continuation of Raw.
Right.
It was a bunch of rehashes.
You know, maybe 4 matches and a whole bunch of rehashes from Raw. So check out SmackDown. They've been doing some decent booking. Had Taker on there with the Shield 2 weeks ago. A big angle with Kane in the Shield last week. So they've been doing some good stuff, and I've actually been keeping up with it a bit, and it's been pretty good. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. Get over to the chat if you're not in there, WrestleReaction.net. Call us up, 323-300-5350. Joe, getting back to the Del Rio versus Ziggler match, damn good match.
Damn good match.
Damn good match tonight. I love where they are going with the whole thing. I'm just so interested. Knowing that Dolph Ziggler is going to climb that ladder and get that World Heavyweight Championship coming on May 19th, where everybody goes after this? Where does Del Rio go? Where does Swagger go? Who's the guy who feuds with Ziggler next? Do they get lost in the shuffle? Are they glorified mid-carders going for IC and US belts after this? What happens here? Because I kind of want to see Sheamus and Ziggler go at it.
I'm going to go with you. You know, this is not exactly the Raw, but it has a little bit to do with the Raw. And I'm going to say that Ziggler goes off and does something else, and maybe Swagger Del Rio stay involved. They have the Zeb Coulter, you have the Ricardo Rodriguez.
The whole racial thing, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you got the Mexican and versus the real American.
Right.
I could see them using this as a mid-card feud. The only problem with it is without Dolph Ziggler in the picture, do people really care about it?
And I think we have another caller on the air right now. What's your name? Where are you from? Okay, and they dropped us again. No more calls. No, I'm kidding. Call into the show. Don't hang up. Talk to us. Want to hear what you have to say. But yeah, Raw, not bad at all. And like you said, Joe, it seems like in the trio that we have going here for the World Heavyweight Championship right now, 2 of them have an actual feud grudge against each other. Ziggler just really involved because they want his championship. So I definitely could see that stemming off and going away. But like I said to you, I kind of want to see one of the quote, SmackDown baby faces who's been pretty big over the past couple of years, guy like Orton, guy like Sheamus. I want to see them step up and have a nice little 2-month feud with Ziggler, get some pay-per-view matches in. Just I want to see some typical heel Ziggler versus strong babyface type stuff. I think they're
giving. Yeah, but you know, we have the Sheamus. We have Sheamus with Mark Henry right now.
So I don't see that right lasting away. Too long, though. I'm just saying, coming out of it.
I thought tonight showed that this may last a little longer than the Extreme Rules.
I don't know if Henry and Sheamus will go at it again in Payback. I just don't see it.
Because, you know, I really feel this is pretty new. They haven't really gotten that one-on-one match yet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have Randy Orton, who's babyface. He is babyface. And him in the big show.
Yeah, definitely. No question about it. Caitlin, backstage with the Funkadactyls, getting another mystery tweet or call, whatever it was, quoting The Simpsons, whatever's going on. All I'm going to say is, please God, let this not be Hornswoggle again, like everything else that they have thrown to Hornswoggle over the past 5 years.
Let's not forget Hornswoggle McMahon.
Yeah, I can't take any more, and that was probably...
Thank you, Ken Kennedy.
Yeah, that was the worst ever. How's your career now, Ken Kennedy? Hornswoggle McMahon. I think we have a caller on the line again now. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, this is Chris from Philly. I'm curious, out of the Bella Twins and AJ Lee, do you think one of the three does ass to mouth?
My goodness, good. This is kind of stuff that we go for the overrun. And you know what? I'm going to say all three of them.
Oh, man.
I'm going all three of them.
Yeah, I agree with Joe.
I'm going all three of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like to be a fly on the wall with the Bella Twins and Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Well, I wasn't ready for that question, but I answered
right?
it fast.
Yeah, that was he kind of rolled like a real question right into the
very end. Oh my goodness gracious!
Woo, okay, reset there. Back to Wrestle Reaction PG-13. We'll get to the XXX stuff later on, but interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Caught me off guard. Goodness gracious!
So no more Hornswoggle stuff. That was pretty bad. I'm just curious to see where they're going to go with this whole Caitlyn thing. It would be kind of cool if it was a girl crush. I know a lot of fans have been saying that, Joe, but I don't think WWE would ever blend
those
lines.
We're not going WrestleMania 22 with Mickie James and Trish Stratus.
Well, you know, Joe, I mean, everybody's so proud in our culture now for people coming out as homosexual and everything else, so I guess it really wouldn't go against TVPG if everybody's being tolerant of each other now, right? Exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's
politics.
They're going to keep it very, very PG. No sexual angles. There's going to be maybe a rose here and there. You don't see Kali and Natalya making out.
Totally throwing it out there. God, please don't let that happen. What is she doing with Kali? Can I just please ask that? Like, I want to know when that girl goes on the road every day and she thinks about the fact
she's
in the Hart family and she's done the Hart dynasty and everything else, and now she's literally a song and dance act for Great Kali. Like, what the hell is happening?
Getting off Kylie and getting onto somebody who can wrestle, maybe is the best in the world. Julia from the chat room wants to know, when do you think we could see CM Punk return? WWE.com did have a little tease up there. Where is CM Punk? I don't know if you caught it, but you know they're kind of playing that they know Punk's gone. He did a whole little walkout. When do you see him returning again?
Well, I mean, there was some breaking news, I think, earlier today or yesterday that said that Punk had been removed from those last shows that he had been advertised for in the next couple weeks. And now, basically, there's no advertising for CM Punk on any WWE house shows or pay-per-views until a good way through the summer, maybe the middle of August, end of August, maybe not even in time for SummerSlam.
You're going to say not even Slam.
This is going to be the anti-2011. This is going to be not the summer of Punk, but the summer we were missing Punk, I believe. I think they're going to keep him off for a little bit.
You know what? I like that. You know, since there was the summer of Punk, I don't think it's going to be the summer without Punk. And he's going to come back and be like, how much did you all miss me?
Yeah. And the heart grows fonder the longer you stay away. And I'm always a big fan of guys taking their rest when it is fair for them to do so. Been on the road for a long time, champion for over 430 days. Went in, had a great match with The Undertaker. Most said it stole the show. At WrestleMania, the guy's done it all. Obviously, creatively, he needs a break. On the road, he needs a break. The guy just needs a break. It's good for everybody. And anytime you take somebody off for a couple weeks, a few months, whatever it is, Joe, that pop when they come back is something that you just can't ever book or schedule or buy. And it's much like, guys like Batista that go away for a couple years and who we all think will be back probably by the end of 2013. And he said he's shown some interest in that. And it's going to be great because when guys come back after things like that, they get a great pop. And I think the WWE universe is going to go ballistic when CM Punk comes back.
A lot of people in the chat room that, torn on here, think he's going to come back for SummerSlam. He's going to come back whenever he wants. Does he come back heel or face?
I think he comes back heel. I think the fans
comes back heel.
I think the fans try to make him face by
you know
cheering
what? And
him.
I was gonna say he comes back, teases face,
yeah,
stays heel.
Totally agree, because anytime you're gonna get a guy like that coming back off hiatus, he's going to get a very good reaction. No doubt about it. And he can kind of troll us all, similar to what Jericho did a couple years ago. And I definitely would see that happening. I believe we have
another caller. Bring him on.
This is the most callers we've ever gotten. We're breaking records. Where are you from? What's your name?
What up? It's Honky from California. Frank, my man. What's up, dude?
Honky is a longtime VOW chat room guy. Talks to me every week. Knows his wrestling. Glad to have you on the show, Honky. What can we do for you? What's your thoughts on Raw tonight?
All right, first off, straight up, I just want to call and just, like, praise you guys. I used to, like, be a Cash, like, I used to love Cash. Now I'm kind of switching over to you guys, if you know what I mean. You know, I really never, you know, because, you know, it was always, like, a 4 to 5 wrestler reaction on Tuesdays. Now I get to actually see what you guys are all about. I dig it. I really like it, for first off. And I honestly really had even, like, no wrestling points around. I just want to call and just, like, see what's up with you guys.
Well, I mean, did you get to watch all of Raw tonight, Honky?
Yeah, no, I watched it. I mean, it just, honestly, I think it's getting worse and worse each week. Honestly, I feel like Lesnar versus, you know, Triple H in a steel cage match, I don't think they've done enough for me to, like, buy it, you know? Like, obviously, I think Lesnar's going to go over. I don't think in hell Triple H is going to win. I mean, don't you agree? Like, do you feel like they've done enough to watch it?
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
And it's got to be Lesnar.
And Joe brought up a very general great point earlier to me when we were watching Raw together. There is just too many damn weeks from WrestleMania to Extreme Rules. I mean, what were they going to fill it with? You don't need, in this day and age, even with a nice build, do you need more than 3 or 4 Raws? I mean, what could you do?
No, there's going to be a lot of Raws. There's going to be a few more Raws like you saw tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's kind of what we're getting, what we asked for. We're laying in the bed that we made. They're now back down to 12 pay-per-views a year, one for every month. We're going to get bigger breaks in between pay-per-views. We're going to get more stuff that is going to drag out and be very meaningless, kind of like things that we got tonight. Just seemed like it was just dragging the line and bringing us closer to Extreme Rules, but not quite there yet. And I think we're going to get a lot of this as 2013 goes on. But, Joe, getting back to before Honky called, and thank you very much for the call, Punk, I think with the present roster and things going on in WWE, maybe Cena's injury getting worse at some point, needs to take it easy. Who knows what? I mean, I see maybe Punk having to come back sooner than they thought. I think they definitely keep him off still. None of this talk like a week ago where people are like, oh, they're going to need him back right away. They're calling him in 2 weeks. He'll be back after Extreme Rules. I don't think that, but maybe Punk does a surprise appearance at Money in the Bank and then does a match at SummerSlam the next month. Could be. I'd love to see CM Punk be a surprise entry into a Money in the Bank match at Money in the Bank and win another briefcase, because that automatically gets CM Punk back into the mix of the championship title.
Well, reading someone's article, I'm not going to name, I don't want to get you all upset.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, they said that, you know, just the lack of stars in WWE, like somebody like a Triple H needs to stay around a little longer. Mm. He doesn't connect right away like The Rock does, you know, because the fans know he's, you know,
right,
that he's got to stay there longer. WWE is going to miss a guy like CM Punk. This, I think, may be the time to maybe get Daniel Bryan out on his own eventually. Guy is, like, we put this guy over every week, Daniel Bryan. Awesome. And as Dolph Ziggler's doing his thing, try to get Daniel Bryan out on his own a little bit like that. You got to start building somebody who's over already. Don't try to push somebody who's not, right, who hasn't gotten
Don't
over
take
yet.
Fandango and Ryback, your pet projects, and push them to the moon and think you're going to carry the company with them right now. Take somebody who's already creating some buzz and has an established fan base and give him that extra kick in the butt to make him jump up.
And with a guy like Triple H, keep him on TV a little more often. Let him be a little more relevant and not just with Brock Lesnar.
I honestly, like, I don't understand it, and great point by that same person in that article. He's on the road with them anyway every week. He is the COO. It's kind of like the Vince McMahon thing when we were younger. we all know he's in charge. They're not saying it, but we all know.
We know Paul Levesque is in charge. We saw
Triple H is Triple H is in charge. He's the COO. It's him, Vince, and Stephanie. They're running the show. So why not? I mean, it's Hunter, okay? Why not have him play more of the role that we saw in the Summer of Punk, doing the negotiation with CM Punk for the contract, getting involved.
He should have a little more of an on-screen role.
And we're not getting any great authority figures right now, Joe. This sideshow GM thing with Vicky and Brad Maddox is not great. Not that I have anything against the two of them. We happen to be fans of both of them. But I just don't see it getting over well.
Vicky was really only on TV the one time tonight.
Quick.
Brad Maddox was nowhere to be found. I mean, that is another guy who I thought was going to have a little more personality, a little more role on TV. And he's kind of just been like this little kind of sideshow
joke. His time will come, though. I think it's just that right now they have a lot of things on their plate, and he's still relatively new. We've seen guys all the time come in, get kind of featured, and then back off a ton, and then get thrown back up there. It's kind of a learning curve in the world of professional wrestling. But I think he has a lot to offer. He obviously has a good presence on camera, and I don't think anybody has a bad thing to say about him when he's on. And it's a nice little compliment he has going with Vicky. But I want to see that $2,000, $3,000 suit-wearing, real authority figure that I know is talking to the WWE stockholder share meetings and going out and flying around in this private jet and actually has control over the company. And me and you both know this because we grew up through the classic era, through the new generation, through the attitude era. What is real transfers over to pro wrestling the best out of everything. Yeah. Vince McMahon,
and just
the best authority figure ever.
Especially
why?
In
because
this day and age when Punk's dropping pipe bombs and, you know, everyone is so picky on their WWE, to go the real route is pretty much the way to go right now. Just like with the Brock Lesnar storming WWE headquarters, I mean, it came off pretty good for something that was obviously very, very not real.
Right.
I mean, we all know Brock is under contract. Let's not pretend he's not. He's fighting with the boss. It's not Austin McMahon. You're not gonna get that again.
No one ever reenact that ever again.
You're not gonna get that again.
But you know what? They're not trying to get that out of a Lesnar feud.
Oh no, I'm
just
saying.
They can get it out of something else.
It just doesn't feel as real as that anyway.
And it never will. And you're talking about, you know, Triple H playing the authority role, while a guy like Lesnar is what? Supposed to play the Austin role, the one of the greatest mic-working, passion-induced roles in wrestling history. You have a guy who only knows how to go in there and wrestle. He's got, you know, less of a personality than some of the worst mic workers in the history of the business. So it doesn't match up like that. But bottom line, Triple H, you're there every week. You're the man. We all know it. Chael Sonnen, you're not buying WWE. It's the McMahon-Helmsley.
You could be a stockholder.
It's the McMahon-Helmsley era. Bow down to the king. That's all I'm saying. And honestly, I just, as a fan, as a guy who has always respected Paul Levesque, I'm so happy it goes from Vince to him and Stephanie. That's the way I am. I really am. You know that, Joe.
I always wanted Shano to take it.
It's a true story. But tell me, in the past 2 years, the product has not gotten.
No, you know, I believe in the Shield and I believe in Triple H.
And you know he's behind that.
Yes.
He's pushing that. He loves it. He thinks they're all talented. He spoke highly of them last week.
Who doesn't speak highly of them? But this week they have a nice squash
guy.
Match. Nice squash match for the Shield.
And pin the strongest guy in the match, by the way.
And you know what? That goes to show you again, the United States Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, lose on Raw again. Why?
God, this stuff's keeping me up.
Yes, of course. We are drinking Vegas Fuel.
Vegas Fuel.
Of course, I needed it today.
Available at all GNCs
and
Rite Aid.
That's
right
where I got
now.
Mine.
Very, very good stuff.
You know, and of course, Roman Reigns, A-Rude, shout out. Roman Reigns is the future star. We think he has the best overall look.
Yeah, but Ambrose is like the love child of everybody on the internet, but me and Joe, Roman Reigns, hardcore fans over here. I mean, all three of these guys obviously have talent through the roof, but I think Roman Reigns just that look and just the power and the spear is excellent, and he's.
I like the tats.
You know what's great to me about these three guys, Joe? They, as soon as they got in the WWE ring, they acted like they knew their way around it. They commanded it. They knew what they were doing. I've never seen them take a step where you kind of thought they second guessed themselves or they didn't know what they were doing so much. I feel like these guys are in the driver's seat. Like Hulk Hogan once said about Triple H, There's a guy who knows his way around the ring. He knows what he's doing. He's calculating everything he's doing before he's doing it, and he's a ring general. And I just see those three guys, they just knew what they were doing from day one. They've been put together with great people in good matches. Even tonight, for a total random pairing of the Usos and Kofi Kingston.
And the,
great six
man and the Usos and Kofi Kingston, all three men I think are pretty good workers.
Yeah,
and definitely. then of course you have the Shield, the future. We always call them the future because exactly what they are. And then for the main event, you have Kane versus the Ryback.
Oh yeah.
Not a bad match. A little quick.
Yeah.
But
it could have used some more length. I would have definitely liked seeing it a little longer.
They could have definitely made it seem like a main event. But for a Monday Night Raw like we had, this is the kind of main event you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Of course you have the Shield come out. Everyone turns their head and wants to see what's gonna happen when the Shield's out. And this is something that they've done right since day one. Shield's gonna keep doing it. Then Ryback leaves the ring. He plays the heel part. John Cena comes, helps out Daniel Bryan, who's in there to help out Kane. They're kind of keeping them together. Eventually, the Shield's going to take the tag team titles. Ryback comes in, ends up, fighting off the Shield for a second, and then nails John Cena when he has one of the members up for an AA. Now you have the Ryback, John Cena, Team Hell No, and the Shield all involved in this. To end Raw. Again, a quick ending to Raw.
Very
Raw did not last as
long
as Raw
It felt rushed, and it came off the air very early. They definitely have more time than that available to them. Seems like they didn't have much left in the tank for them to do. They were just content on doing that one little thing at the end and then ending it. So just one of those weak filler booking nights where Raw definitely... This is one of those situations where Raw didn't need to be 3 hours. There wasn't enough to do. Joe, something we skipped actually getting to the main event right away, and I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes.
Cesaro versus Zach
Lowe. You're going to go Cesaro Zach. I think you're going to go to the Fandango versus Cesaro Truth match.
I wasn't even going to get to
which that. I was kind of just skipping those
very,
two undercards.
Very, very weird. But I just want to talk about Cesaro and Ryder. This, to me, was the battle of two guys who desperately needed the win on primetime television. They have both seemed to be getting buried. And the fact that Cesaro has been getting buried, and he buried Ryder almost, it just tells me something about Ryder. God, I hope that guy still has a job in a year the way it's going. But Cesaro puts on a bit of a good match.
Yes.
Zero crowd reaction throughout the whole match. I mean, even the uppercut barely got a reaction. It got more reaction on the replay at the end of the match than it did during the match. I don't know what people were spacing out in the arena too in that one. But just it's just not working for these two guys. They're not getting over in the way that WWE needs their people to get over. And Cesaro afterwards.
Not a bad little promo.
I liked it.
But you know what? I know it's funny is that when he picked up the mic.
Serious?
But when, if you heard him when he picked up the mic, he goes, I don't usually grab a escrow microphone. But I thought he was going to say, I thought he was the most interesting man in the world. when I do, I drink Dos Equis.
Yes. Yes.
But the promo was good. We both like Cesaro's ring work.
Yeah.
There's just something that's got to get him over that. You can see they're trying different things.
And that's what he
did yodel tonight.
Right.
I think the yodeling may be done.
Please, God. That was I don't know who the hell thought of that.
He had a
bad idea.
Yeah, so he had the little beret on tonight.
Yeah.
Glasses, it looked like...
Truth Commission stuff.
Yeah, the Truth Commission. He really did. But hopefully something gets this guy over because he's very good.
And he
put it out there, too. He goes, nobody can hold a candle to me in the ring.
In the ring. And that's what I liked about it. If you're going to be that style of wrestler, you're going to have limited abilities in the star entertainment aspect of it, then you need to get on that mic and do what Benoit, what Bret Hart did. Guys like that, they were the best in the ring. And they got on the mic and they said it. I'm not afraid to fight this guy and that guy. I'll take on all comers. I am the best when it comes to getting in that squared circle and going bell to bell. Nobody can do what I do in here. And it sold the crap out of wrestling and their careers, and they became successful guys off it. And if Cesaro is going to go this way, he might have to do this and take it very serious. Is it going to get pushed? Is the right time going to get behind it? Will they feed him the right opponents? I don't think so. I think this is a 1-2 week deal here, and he'll get forgotten about again. I just don't see anybody behind the scenes behind Antonio Cesaro. I just don't see it.
The big problem is that with WWE these days, it really seems that as if you're not in a world title picture, World Heavyweight Championship or WWE Championship, you're just not that important. You just not do anything that important.
Absolutely.
Unless you're Team Hell No.
Unless you're a super main eventer who has a limited contract or you've won a million titles in the past, a la Brock, Rock, Triple H, Undertaker, all coming back, doing whatever they want at any given time.
I was discounting those. I mean, like,
right.
of the roster that is active every week,
yeah.
It's just a shame that if you're not in a title picture, and I'm talking World and WWE, that your type of feuds and your importance of booking is just not there. There's no importance to book these guys in anything meaningful.
Yeah, definitely. And we want to thank you for joining us for the first ever post-Raw Wrestle Reaction. We hope you had a great time. Thanks to the callers, the ones who were not vulgar, and all the people in the chat room. By the way, don't go anywhere. We are coming back. We are ending the recorded portion now. You can find this available on WrestleReaction.net tomorrow. Also available on iTunes. Follow us at Wrestle_React on Twitter, Wrestle Reaction on Facebook also. You know the website, WrestleReaction.net. I am Frank Manzo, Joe Omega. Stick to us right now. We're coming back with the overrun in about 2 minutes.
And we believe in the Shield.